Today's Daf Yomi Shir is Daf Mem Gimel, and we begin five lines down at the two dots where we quote the Mishnah. Hesebu Echad Mevarach. If you did Heseba, then one person can be Motzi all the other people, because that's a full-fledged Kavua Dikas Suda, and therefore one can be Motzi the other people. Everybody's paying attention, everybody's part of the same group. So we qualify this now. Amar Rav, Rav qualified this, and he said, Lo Shanu, this is only talking about Elapas, the Baya Seba. This is when you're dealing with bread, so then you have to have this Haseba and be Koveya. Abo Yayin, Lo Baya Seba. But if one person wants to be Motzi other people for wine, it wasn't the custom to be to do reclining Haseba with wine, and it would be enough that they're just all drinking together, and then one person can make the bracha and be Motzi all the others. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan Amar, no, afilu yayin nami boy seba. Rav Yochanan says, even wine requires Haseba. So the first version of this machlokes, Rav and Rav Yochanan, says that they're arguing about whether wine requires Haseba or not. Rav says it doesn't require it. Rav Yochanan says, if you want to be Motzi other people, you also require Haseba by wine. Second version of this machlokus is as follows. Iko di amre, that Rav said as follows. Oma Rav, lo shanu ela pas, the bahani le haseba, that haseba only works for bread. Avo yayin, but for wine, haseba wouldn't even work. Avo yayin lo mahani le haseba. Haseba doesn't work for wine. So even if you wanted to, it doesn't work for wine. And here, Rav Yochanan Amar, no. Afilu yayin nami mahani le haseba, that wine also can work with this concept of Haseba to be one person Motzi or the other people. So we have two different versions over here. We're going to ask a question on Rav's understanding according to both versions. Meisve, we ask from a Tosefta against Rav. Ketzat Seder Haseba. What is the order of Haseba? Others have the gear, so Ketzat Seder Hasu'uda. In any event, the order is as follows. Rashi points out that rich people used to invite poor people to the meal, and they'd gather in some sort of an ante room over there, which was a temporary place where they'd gather, but they'd also give them some food over there, some wine. So Archon Nichnosin, these Archon of poor people, they would come into this ante room. Yoshua Agabi Safsolim Yagabi Katidros. They would go sit on benches or on chairs over there, waiting till everybody was ready. Everybody came, and then they would start the meal in another room. Sachi Konsukulum, until everybody gathered over there. Then, while they were in that room, Mevilahem Mayim, they would bring them water and call echad v'echad no to yodo achas. Everybody go and wash one hand because they'd be drinking the water, the wine really with that one hand. And if their hands were tame, so then they could be metame the wine because mashkin are able to become tame from hands which are considered shnios. So therefore, they would go wash their one hand. They would wash their right hand in the stomach because that's what they would drink the wine with. And they would therefore not be metame the wine. Others explain over here that this was purely for cleanliness purposes. In any event, balhem yayin, and then they would give them wine. Kol echad v'echad b'varach liatzmo. Everybody would have to make the bracha for themselves. They weren't doing haseba over there, and they weren't koveya over there. Now, alu, afterwards, they went into the regular room, v'hesebu, and they reclined over there. And now, ubalhem mayim, they'd have to go wash their hands again. So, afal pishu kol echad v'echad nota yodo, achas, even though they'd each wash one of their hands, either for cleanliness or not to be metami the wine, nevertheless, now, since that original washing hands wasn't with the intention, or they wouldn't have in mind to keep their hands clean this whole time, so chozev enoto shtei yodav. So they have to go now and wash both the hands for the meal, and then they make hamotzi, and they would eat the meal. Now balhem yayin. Now they would bring new wine to them. So afal bishukol lecha biyachod baruch liatzlu. Even though they all made a bar priagofen, nevertheless they have to make another bar priagofen. But here, since they're having haseba echad bevaruch lekulam, one person could go make the bracha for everybody else. So whether you have the first version of Rav or the second version of Rav, there's going to be a question from this Tosefta. What is that? So Leich Lishno, the Yom Rav, according to the first version where Rav said that Lo Shanu Ela Pas, the Baye Seba, only Pas requires a Seba, Avo Yayin Lo Baye Seba, you don't need reclining in order to do a Seba. So then Kashi Reisha, why did they have in the first situation when they were in the anteroom, why couldn't one person make the bracha for everybody else? We said every person made the bracha themselves. So why is that? So Gemara says, Reisha Shiny, there it's different, because Orchin, when you have guests, the tayu lemeikar, because the guests over there know that they're not going to be staying in that same room. So when one person is making the bracha for Geffen and motzing all the other people, that's when they're planning on staying over there. You don't need haseba, you just need to be gathered to drink together. But here, they weren't really gathered to drink together. They were in a waiting room. And some people drank now, some people drank a little bit later. They weren't all drinking together. Therefore, there's not koveya in any way by their being together and drinking. While wine normally doesn't require haseba, in this situation, it will not work because they're not really in any way koveya. So that's why it's not a kasha to the first version of Rav. Ulehech lishna. According to the second version, where Rav said, "Yom Rav lo shanu ela pas the mahani leyaseba, only bread haseba works for bread. Avo yayin, it doesn't work at all. Lo mahani leyaseba." So then it did work. They were in the middle of the meal, and one person could be they were Haseba, and one person over there was making the bracha to be motzi everybody else. So Kasha Seifa. So how does the second version of Rav over here match with this Tosefta? So where it says, nope, again, shiny hasim, that was different, because the migu dukomahani le haseba le pas, because they were able to have a seba for the pas, so since it worked for the pas, the haseba, mahani le haseba le yayin, it also works for the yayin. So that's why it's not a problem, this Tosefta, to either version of Rav. Then we quote the Mishnah, bolhem yayim iso chamozo, and if the wine comes out in the middle of the meal, so we said one person should not be motzi everybody else, but each should make their own bracha in the middle of the meal. Why is that? Why is that the case? But afterwards they can make one bracha to be motzi everybody else. So he answered them. Ben Zoma responded. He said, as I pointed out in yesterday's share, we say again over here, there's two reasons over here. Rashi, basically, and Tosos. And Rashi says over here, because a person's not concentrating. And Tosos says, because it's dangerous. And both reasons are appropriate and correct. And that in the middle of the meal, we're concerned that you're not concentrating. You're busy eating, and you're not going to hear the Bar Priya Guffin. And therefore, one person can't be motzi other people. Or, alternatively, that if you're going to answer a main, Rechmona Lutzlan, a person could choke, the food could go down the wrong pipe. That's why Tosos brings down that it was a custom. They would say, Sabri, or Lechayim, to get everybody to stop what they're doing and concentrate. And in this way, it would be acceptable maybe to have one person be motzi other people. The Gemara continues and says, "Hu omer ala mugmer v'chule." We said that the person that benched, he also gets to do the mugmer. That's the standard way that most understand this over here, that this is talking about the person who benched. There's an opinion, however, that it's actually talking about the person who said hamotzi. This can be found in the Ravid. Shulta Giborim brings the Ravid, who says that the person who made the hamotzi is the one that gets to make the bracha on the mugmer, but most of the poskim over here, the Rif, Rashi, and the Rambam, all seem to say that it's talking about the one who benched gets to make the bracha on the mugmer. Now, midiktani, but who omer ala mugmer, from the fact that we say that he gets the sechus to make the bracha on the incense, it implies that there was somebody else that should have been entitled to do this, but that person, since he didn't lead the benching, isn't given the zchus to do the mugmer. Mistam, he allowed the other person to go and bench, as we'll see in a story in a second, and therefore, once this gadol allowed the other person to bench, so we also assume he allows him to go and say the bracha for everybody on the mugmer. Now, the Rashal on the side and the Vilna Gaon say we're not goris the next words v'amai hol v'hunota yod v'tchila b'achrona, because we're going to say that in a second, so it really doesn't belong over here. So in any event, this statement over here that we say that the person who makes the bracha on benching gets to make the bracha on the mugmer, even if there's a greater person over there, is consistent. Messiah Leil Rab. This is consistent with Rab Paskin. The Omer of Chiyah Barashi, he said in the name Omer Rab, hanotel yod v'tchila b'achrona, the one who's given the right to go and wash his hands first. The halach is that if let's say you have three people, the one who's going to lead the benching, he should wash his hands of Mayim Achronim first. If you have more than five people, or five or more people, so it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, you don't want to make the person leading the benching wash first and then have to wait, so you let the other people do it. But once you get down to five people, then he goes and washes his hands first. In any event, the one whom we allow to go lead the benching, who washes first, whom is Zuma Lebrucha? He is the one that we give the Rishus, so to say, to go and do the Bracha on the Mugmor as well. The Magen Avraham brings down a beautiful raya from over here that during the slichos, when the person who we allowed to start saying the slichos, so we give him the reshus to daven as well, even though there are other people that are, quote, more appropriate. Somebody has a yard site, as a mile, or somebody has an ovel. So theoretically, they would have precedence over him. Nevertheless, once we let him start with the saying of the slichos, we let him do the davening as well. The Matei Ephraim says the minhag is not necessarily to do this, but at least in theory, it is correct. In any event, Rav, Rav Chiya, Abu Yasser, Kameh, the Rebbe Bisudosus. We'll put this practice that we just said into effect. Rav, who was the least of the three, and Rav Chiya, his uncle, who was his Rebbe, and Rav Chiya was a Talmud Chaver of Rebbe, Yehuda Nasi. So you have these three people sitting down to the meal. Rav, Rav Chiya, and Rebbe. They're all sitting down by a meal. So Amalei Rebbe, Lerav, Rebbe tells Rav, Kum Moshe Yodech, go and wash your hands. So Chazid Avi Mirsus, Rav Chiya saw that his nephew Rav was trembling. He said, "Uh-oh, what did Rebbe think of me? Rebbe thinks my hands are dirty, or I'm taking too long to go and eat the meal. He's telling me finish up already and bench." So Amalei Rav Chiya. So Rav Chiya told him, "No, don't worry, don't be concerned. Bar Pachsi." He called him, "You son of nobles, you great person." Ayin bebrichas mezona kovaloch. He's telling you, I'm going to allow you, the schutz, to lead the benching. So he's telling him to go prepare the benching. They didn't have benches. They didn't have sidurim. So therefore, he wanted to make sure that you're prepared to lead the benching. Think over the benching. Then make sure you know the nusach of the benching because you're going to lead the benching. Now we're going to start discussion about making a bracha on reyach. So the Gemara says, when do you make the bracha on reyach? you don't wait till you smell it. He says, Mishita'ala timroso, when it starts to, the smoke going up. As Rashi says, the key to her oshon, shemismar ba'ole, when the smoke starts going up, the incense starts rising up, that's when you make the bracha, even though you haven't smelled it yet. So Amar Rabbi Zeira l'Rava, b'Yirmiya. So Zeira says to Rava b'Yirmiya, wait a second, b'hol lo ka'orach, you didn't smell it yet, how can you make the bracha? So Amalei, he says, and according to you, l'tamech, ha'mozi lechem in'aretz, how do you make a bracha, mozi lechem in'aretz? The mevarech, that you make that bracha, b'hol lo acha, but you didn't eat yet? El what? Daite lemecha. Since you're intending to eat, so you make the bracha before you do it. You have to do what we call over lasiyosin, right before you go and do the action, the birchas nenin, that's when you make the bracha. So hochanami, daite l'orcha, you're about to smell this, so at the point where it's about to be ready to be smelled, so then you make the bracha. We always have this type of things in the Gemara, because we say many times, Omer, Dover b'shem Omro, maybe Kula Liolim. So we always have these types of statements in the Gemara where we want to make sure that we say it over correctly. So if we're not 100% sure, Rishach the Shlita would say that over the time, these statements were made much earlier in the Amoraic period of time, and only later on, Ravina Ravashi codified it, so they didn't always remember who exactly said what. In any event, whoever it was that said this memra, he said, Kol ha-mugmoros, nevorach nalem borei atzei b'somim. The standard bracha that you make on incense is borei atzei b'somim, with the one exception, chutz mi musk. From musk, Shemin Chayahu. And therefore, Shemavarach and Allah Bori Minim Besomim. That's not from the ground. You don't say Atzei Besomim because it comes from animals. Some say it's a sweat gland, others say it's different parts of the animal, but it comes from an animal source. And therefore, you can't say Atzei Besomim, you say Bori Mine Besomim. We question this. Meisve says in the Brisa, Ein Mavarach and Bori Atzei Besomim, Elo Alafar Simon Shobes Rebbe, the Alafar Simon Shobes Kesar, the Alahodo Shibachom Makom. So we just said that you always make Atzei Besomim. And now this Brisa says that you only make Atzei Besomim on Bolzum. Bolzum is a Far Simon that came from the house of Rebbe, and it came from the house of the Caesar. Rashi points out that these were very expensive things, and only very rich people. Rebbe was very, very rich. The Caesar is certainly very, very rich, so they're the only ones that had it. So that's why it says on the Bolzum, on the Afarsim, they came from their houses. And also on the Hadus. Hadus, you always make a Borei Atzei Besomim. But all other Mugmor, you don't make a Borei Atzei Besomim Kasha on that which we just said. They call him Gmoros, Mavarach Nalem, Borei Atzei Besomim. So Gmor says, Tiyofta, you're right, we slugged it up. If you have oil that was soaking in this balls of wood, what bracha do you make on this? Rav Yehuda said, you make a special bracha, borei shemen artzenu. Rashi points out that the Yericho was known, that's why it was called Yericho, because it had beautiful smelling things in Yericho. So these types of things were grown in Yericho, and this material specifically, this Afar Simon over here, that they put in the oil, came from Yericho, and that's why he said, Borei Shemen Artzenu. So he made this special, specific bracha. Amalei, Barmine the Yehuda. He said, no, don't tell me what Yehuda does. Yehuda is unique. The Chaviv al Eretz Yisrael, he loves Eretz Yisrael so much, that he always finds a way to throw in the Lashon over here of Eretz Yisrael. That's why he said, Borei Shemen Artzenu. But what does everybody else make? L'kuli Amma Mai. Everybody else is not as medactic as Rav Yehuda. So what do we say? So Amalei Hachi, Am Rav Yochanan, and he said, this is what Rav Yochanan said about this Mishcha D'Afar Simon, you make Borei Shemen Orev. That's the bracha that you make on the oil that was soaking the Afar Simon. Am Rav Adav Rava, Hai Kesharta, what is Kesharta? So Rashi says over here, this is Kosh, this is one of the 11 Pitamak Torah items that we make. It's one of the spices in the Pita Maktoris. So Mavarach and Ilave, Bori Atzei B'Somim. He says, on this Kostis, that's what the Kosht is, so he says, you make Bori Atzei B'Somim. However, Avo Mishko Kivisha, but if you were to go, Rashi says over here, that you were to go put this Kosht inside oil, and then the oil picked up the smell of the Kosht, so then you wouldn't make the Bracha Atzei B'Somim, Bori Atzei B'Somim. Kivisha Lo. However, Rav Kana disagrees. Rav Kana Amar Afilu Mishko Kivisha, you even would make it on, if it was soaking in there. The oil that picked up the scent, you would make that bracha. However, mishka tchina, if you ground up and then you put in the oil, so then lo, you wouldn't make the bracha atzei b'somim. And Nardai disagrees with that. Nardai amre afilu mishka tchina, even if it's ground up, you would in fact make that bracha. Arm of Gidol Amarav, return to the Amud Beis. Hai simalak or samalak, that's yasmin, Rashi says, that's jasmine. And that's the word that they use for it in the Arab countries, Beloshin Yishmael. Others bring down, Rabbeinu Yonah brings down, that this is rosemary. It's, Rashi says, a min esav, a certain type of grass, sheish bo shalosh shuros shalalin, has three rows of leaves, each one above the other one, and that's this type of plant called samalak, or similak. So he says, what bracha do you make on that? Rav Gidol Amar says, hai samalak, mevarchen alavi, borei atzei b'somim. You also make a borei atzei b'somim on that. Rashi says, Chalfidiyama is a certain type of bosem known as ashbig. And this is, he says, shibolus ner. This is also one of the well-known spices known as shibolus ner. And he says, it's like givoli pishton, the ashkhan givolin, the ikri eitz. It's called eitz over here, and that's why you make over here, mevorchen aleh, borei atze besomim. Amar Zutra, Maikro, where's the pasuk that supports this? He says, "V'hi he'elosam ha'gaga batit b'neim b'pishtei ha'etz." When the spies were hid by Rachav, so that she hid over here, Kolev and Pinchas. So it says that she hid them over there b'pishtei ha'etz. So we see that it's referred to as etz. Now we continue the Gemara. The Gears that we have is a Mashar Shomar. Now that seems to imply that he's commenting on the previous statement. That's why on the side it says the more correct Gears should be Omar Rav Masharsha. That's a new statement. And he says, Hai Narkom, this spice called Narkom. Rashi says this is Chavatzelas Ashoron. He brings it up for the Bag from the Baal Halachos Gedolos. And we find this in Shirashim. Rashi calls this the Shoshana. Others say over here that this is some sort of a lily. The Mitzvah Sion says that it's a Shoshana. Why is it called Shoshana? Because it has Shisha Alin. It has six rows over here, six leaves, and that's why it's called Shoshana, Shesh, over here. In any event, this Narkom, if it's grown, the Guninisa, it's in the gardens, it's like domesticated, so Mevarchan Ilave, Bori Atzibasam, then you make the Bracha Bori Atzibasam. But if you have this Narkom that comes to Dabra, that's the wild type of Narkom, then Bori Isve Besam, then you make Bori Isve Besam. Amar Vesheshes, Hani Sigli, Sigli usually translated as violets, Mevarchan Ilayu, Bori Isve Besam, you make Bori Isve Besam. Amar Mezutra, Haiman de Moreach Biesrog, if you smell an esrog, O Bechavush or quince, and these are fruits. So you make a special baruch, Omer, Baruch, and whenever you say Baruch over here, we mean Baruch Hashem Lakinim Achalom, Shinosan, those are the gears, so Shinosain, the gears, or whatever it is, Reach Tobeferus, that he puts good smells into the fruits. As an interesting discussion over here, should you or should you not smell your esrog? So some say that as long as it's not the time that you're doing the mitzvah, that you're allowed to smell it and make this bracha. Others say, no, it's huksel mitzvasel, and you shouldn't smell it during the entire days of sukkahs, because then you're running into a problem. It's huksel mitzvasel when you're going and smelling and getting hanor from it. I'm Rav Yehuda. Hai man dinofik biyomi Nisan. If somebody goes out during the month of Nisan, that's when the trees start blossoming. B'chaze ilone dekor melav levei, and he sees the tree starts blossoming. This is a very famous bracha. So Omer says, Baruch at Hashem l'kenu machalom, shlochisa bi'olomo klum. Others have the word dover over here. The Beis Yosef brings down that the gear says dover. In any event, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't made anything lacking in the world. U'borobo brios tovos v'ilonos tovos. Some just say, borobo brios v'ilonos tovos. L'hisnos behem b'nei odom. That a person can get tremendous enjoyment from, that we can get benefit from these. The Beis Yosef brings down from the Avkas Rochel over here that there's special things that here in the Neshama, by smelling things and by having these beautiful trees, that can somehow make a tikkun in a person's Neshama. And that's why this special bracha is made. La'alacha, the usual time that we make this bracha is in Nisan, but let's say there are no blooming plants in Nisan, then you can make it in Iyar. Let's say you live in the southern hemisphere and they bloom at a different time, so at the time that you are, where you are, when the plants bloom, when the trees bloom, so then you do make this bracha. It's not lav dafka in Nisan, it's just usually in Nisan in our areas. Amar Zutra Betu of Yomar Rav, another statement that was made in the name of this man, the Yomar, Minayin Shmevarch on Reach. Where do we know that you're supposed to make a bracha on Reach? Everybody asks, so why would you think that you shouldn't? So the Beis Yosef brings down that one might have thought that since Adam Arishon brings down from Magid Teluma, Adam Arishon only sinned with the other four senses, but he didn't sin with the sin of Reach, so maybe you didn't have to have a kapara for it to make a bracha on it. Alternatively, he brings down, you're not able to be moal with Reach, so maybe we said the whole reason you make a bracha is because it's ki'ilu moal, so therefore one could argue that you can't have me'ilu on Reach, so maybe you don't have to make a bracha on Reach. In any event, how do we know that you do make a bracha on Reach? Because the pasuk says, "Call an neshama to haloka," that all the neshama has to break it. What does that mean? Ezu davar shaneshama nenes imenu. What is the highest of the senses? So it's the sense of smell, and that even gives a hanoah to your neshama. And the body doesn't get hanoah really from it. The guf does. It's more of the ethereal type of hanoah. So have yomer is reach. So this is why you have to say kol neshama taluka is referring to reach, and that's the source, the allusion over here, the asmachta that we make a bracha on reach. In the future, the Bachur Yisrael will have a beautiful reach, just like the Levonon. So this is the allusion to this pasuk. They bring down that just like a zayis over here, you're not allowed to have murkav, so to a person in the future, the Bachur Yisrael, they won't have any sins. They won't be, so to say, hybrids over here of good and bad. Yomar Zutra Batuv Yomar Rav. Another statement in this man the Yomar's name. My Dixiv, what is it possible to mean when it says, as I call also Yofa Bito, Akosh Boko made everything pleasant in its time. That Akosh Boko made it, that every single person enjoys his umnus. There are those people that have, Rashi says, jobs as a tanner, which is a very difficult odor and a foul smelling job, and yet they love it. The people love their jobs. So Akosh Boko made it that everybody should love their jobs. Why? So Rashi brings down, so that no umnus should be lacking. If nobody wanted to go into a certain umnus, and then umnus would be lacking. Nobody wanted that job. So therefore, Akosh Boko made it that everybody loves their job. Amra Papa, I know the Amriyancha. This is what people say. Tolo le kura ledovar acher. If you would go hang a kura, kura is translated variably as the palm shoots, the soft shoots of the palm tree. And dover acher is often meaning different things. Here it means a pig. So if you give a pig nice, delicious fruits, this is what the Aruch explains over here, viyudi day of it. But it does what it wants. In other words, it goes and eats the tzoa. It prefers to eat the tzoa. Others explain it likes to drag the shoots through the tzoa. Instead of having nice, clean shoots, it will eat only the shoots that are dragged through tzoa, or will eat the tzoa instead of the shoots. In other words, everybody likes what they like. And therefore, some people would be horrified to have this job, and other people say this is the greatest job in the world. Another statement, avuka kishnayim v'yoreach kishlosha. What is this talking about? So Rashi explains. Without Rashi, we'd be lost. Rashi explains it's talking here about that the shadim could hurt a person. And when do they not have the ability to hurt a person as much as when you're in a group? So if you're carrying a torch, it's like you're in a group. It's like you're two. And if there's a lot of moonlight out there, it's like you're three. So therefore, the shadim won't be able to have as much sway over you. They asked, avuka kishnayim b'hadi didei? Does the avuka count as two, including him? So you're one, and the avuka makes it two. Avuka kishnayim levar mididei? Or you're one, and the avuka counts as an additional two. So we'll bring a raya that the first way that we said it is right, that the avuka counts like one additional person besides you to make it two. Toshma, it says v'yorech kishlosha, because we brought down in this brisa that having the moon there is like having a third person. Now, i'amris b'shlom b'hadi didei, if you say including you, it makes it three, so shapir. Because we can understand there's a difference between two and three, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. Eliyamris levar mididei, so then arbor lomali. Then why would you need to have four? If you're saying that it counts in addition to you, so the moon is like three plus you, so why would you ever have four? What's the benefit of having four? There's a difference between two and three, but why is there a benefit of having three versus four? Because we learn, le'echod nira, the shadim can go and make them appear in front of a single person by himself, umazik, and they have the potential to damage you. If you're walking with another person, l'shnayim, so the nira, they can appear to you, v'eno masik, but they won't harm you. L'shlosha, eno nira kalika, but if you're three, they won't appear at all. So therefore, there's no difference between three and four. El alav shmamino. Therefore, our version of reading it originally was correct, that it means the avuka is like one other, so it's a total of two, and the yerech is like two others, a total of three. So therefore, shmamino, avuka kishnayim b'hadididei shmamino. That's a good proof that it's like two. Rav Zutra Batuv Yom Rav, another statement. Another say Rami Lo Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna Amar Rav Shimon Chasido. Another say Rami Lo Amar Rav Yochel Mishum Rav Shimon Yochoi. Whoever it was that said this, they said Noach Lo Liodur Shapi Latzmo Lusok Kivshon Eish. It is better for a person to fall into a fiery furnace over here rather than embarrass somebody else, especially if it's embarrassing them in public. Where do we know this from? Minola and Mitomar. We learn this out from the mice of Tomar and Yehuda Shenemar. He mutzeis v'gomer. She was found out, and she said, whoever belongs to this, the staff and the package over here, that is the person who is the father of this child that I'm carrying. And she didn't point out to Yehuda. Yehuda said, so can be many. So therefore, she didn't want to embarrass Yehuda. She said, it's better to die. Let them kill me in the fire that they were going to kill her in, because she was a Bas Kohen, so therefore she was the daughter of Malki Tzedek Kohen, and therefore she would die via fire, and therefore she said, better that I die via fire, Kivshon Eish, rather than go and embarrass Yehuda in public and say, you're the one that did this to me. And he said, Tzot Kimimeni, and we learn out from there that it's better to throw yourself into the fire than go and embarrass somebody in public. Now, the question is, this is not Yorg Vayavar. Why did she do this? So the Mepharshim should bring down, there's a Tosus in Sota and others that say that this is like an Abizrayu, it's like a Tolda, if you wish, of Ritzicha, and it looks like you're not allowed to kill somebody. If somebody says, kill him or I'll kill you, you have to say, kill me. In this situation, since you're draining the blood from the face when you embarrass them, you're making them white. So therefore, it's like you're killing them. And therefore, that's the source over here for why you have to throw yourself into the Kivshon Eish rather than go embarrass somebody. Tana Rabban, we learn in the Brisa, if you look in front of Shemen, if they bring in front of somebody a Shemen to smell and a Hodos to smell, they have two different brachos. So Beisham Yomim Mevarech Al Shemen V'Yachakach Mevarech Al Hodos. So first you should make the bracha on the Shemen, and then make the bracha on the Hodos. Or Beisham Yomim Mevarech Al Hodos V'Yachakach Mevarech Al Shemen, and then you make the bracha first on the Hodos, and then he make it on the Shemen. Rashi points out that the Shemen over here was brought for the end of the meal to go and wash the hands. So Tosa says, but then you don't make a bracha on it. If it's Lahab Rizumi, you don't make a bracha. So the Chavetz Hashem in the Beis Yosef brings down that Rashi is talking about that they brought it out both for smelling purposes and to remove the Zuama. In any event, the two different brachas over here, and we have Machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, which one should be made first? So Omer Rav Gamliel, along comes Rav Gamliel, says, Ani Achriya, I'll show you which one is right. Now, this is a little bit different than the normal usage that we have. The Deah Shlishi, Machriya Beneim, is when the third opinion is somewhere in between the first two, and we side then with the middle opinion plus the outer opinion against the other outer opinion. So that's what we normally mean when we have a Deah Shlishi, Yachriya Beneim. Here, he's just paskining over here. I'm going to tell you how to paskin. And he says that Beis Shammai is actually right. Shemen, the oil, zachinu l'recho, zachinu l'sichoso. You can do two things with it. You can smell it, and you can anoint yourself with it. Hodos, l'recho, zachinu. We can smell the hodos, but l'sichoso, lo zachinu. We don't get any benefit from anointing it. And therefore, we should paskin like Beis Shammai over here, which is unusual. And we should get the shemen first, because you get two benefits from it, as opposed to the hodos, you only get one benefit from it. How do we paskin? Rav Yochanan, halacha, k'divrei machriya. Rav Yochanan says that we paskin over here, like Beis Shammai, as Rabban Gamliel was machriya. One time it happened that Rav Papa went to the house of Rav Huna Brei Ravika, and Aisul Kami Shemen Hodos, and they did exactly this. They brought him at the end of the meal. They brought him the Shemen, and they brought him the Hodos. And what did he do? Shaka Rav Papa Brich Ahados. Rav Papa went and made the bracha first on the Hodos Bereisha, not like Beis Shammai, not like Rav Gamliel Paskin, not like Rav Yochanan Paskin. Ella, he made it like Beis Hillel. He first did the bracha on the Hodos, Hodos Brich Hashemen, then he made the bracha on the Shemen. So they asked him, Amalei, lo savalo mar halach yidivriya machriya, don't you hold, like Rabbi Yochanan over here said, that we paskin here like Rabbi Gamliel, like Beis Shammai? So Amalei, he responded, hochi amar Rabbi. This is what Rabbi said. Now there's a lot of girsa problems over here in the next statement. There are some that read it over here, that he in fact said, Rabbi really said this, halach kebeis hillel, end of the discussion, and then we just delete all the rest of the words. And that's very simple to understand. He said, no, Rabbi said that we paskin like Beis Hillel. The halach is always like Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai, even though Rabbi Gamliel had a good reason to say that Beis Shammai is right, nevertheless, we always follow the halach like Beis Hillel. And then, period, and you don't read the rest of the words over here until the end of the line, Tana Rabban. Others say, no, Amar Rabba halach Beis Hillel, but below he, they have this girsa that, in fact, Rabba, quote, made it up. And he only did this, the Ashtamuti Navshi Hudiyabit. He was embarrassed, so to say, that he had paskin wrong. So he said, oh yeah, Rava said this. And that's very, very strange. It's impossible to fathom that, in fact, Rav Papa would go and make up a halacha in the name of Rava. So if you have this girsa, so some explain it as follows, that he knew the halacha was like Beis Hillel. And he said, my Rebbe, Rava, if I had asked him, would have said that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. And therefore, I'm going to say that the halacha is like my Rebbe because I know that's what he would say. Again, a person has to be a Talmud Bubba for his Rebbe to be able to quote something in the name of his Rebbe that he never heard his Rebbe say, but since he learned by him so many years, he knows that that's exactly his Rebbe's opinion, even though he never actually heard his Rebbe say it. Again, that's not something we normally do. Certainly the Girsa is a little bit easier if you delete these bunch of words, but again, the Girsa that we have is that those words are present and they explain it, the Mefarshim explain it the way I just did. We continue, Vaiter, Tana Rabbanon, have you lift name Shemen v'yayin? If they bring in front of somebody the Shemen and wine, which one should you do first? B'sham yomim, o cheza Shemen b'yamino, you always hold the thing that you're about to make a bracha on in your right hand, that's if you're a righty, to demonstrate your eagerness to do the mitzvah, and your alacrity to do the mitzvah. So he says, you take the Shemen in your right hand, then you take the wine in your left hand. That's why when a person makes Havdalah at night on Motzi Shabbos, so he takes the cup of wine always in his right hand, and he's supposed to hold the besamim in his left hand. And only when he makes the bracha on the besamim does he switch the wine to his left hand. You're supposed to hold the wine the whole time because it's a bracha ala kos, and then you take the besamim in your right hand. And then you switch it back afterwards and you hold the kos when you make the end of the bracha. When you're making Hamad bin Kosh L'chol, then you take the kos back in your right hand. In any event, so what Beis Shammai said is you hold the Shemen in your right hand and you take the wine in your left hand and the Baruch HaShemen first and then the kos and Baruch HaYayin. Then you put the kos in your right hand and you make the bracha on the wine. Beis Hillel says, no, you hold the wine first in your right hand, it's the Shemen swallow, then the oil in your left hand and Baruch HaYayin first and then the kos and Baruch HaShemen. Then you make the bracha on the Shemen. And what should you do? Now your hands are oily over here. V'tochu b'rosh ha-shamish. You should go wipe off the oil and the hair of the shamish. Now obviously that's with his permission and that's understood that he's accepting you to do that for whatever the reason. But if the shamish is a talmud chacham hu, tochu b'kosu, then wipe your hands on the wall. B'nei shignai le talmud chacham lo tzeis l'shuk kishu mevusam. Because it's not proper for a talmud chacham to go out with this aromatic fragrance around him because, as we'll see in Rashi, it looks like Rachmanu L'tzlan, he's interested in mishkaf zocher, in homosexuality, and therefore a person should dispel that notion, and therefore don't go out with this aromatic substance on you. Now, that's why the Talmud Chacham did it originally on the Shamash because he wanted to get rid of it. But if the Shamash is also Talmud Chacham, then you do it on the wall. Now this leads us into an interesting aside over here, Tanur Rabbanu. The Brisa says, Shisha Dvarim Gnailu L'Talmud Chacham. There are six things that it's especially bad for a Talmud Chacham to do. The Ma'adani Yontif in the back of the Gemara, under the Rush, so he tells us this is a Gnai for everybody to do, but only the Talmud Chacham are the ones that usually followed this and didn't do this. So we'll have all six things and then we'll explain them all. So I'll just read the words and then we'll see inside the Gemara the more detailed explanation. Number one, Ayet Sekishu Mavusim. Don't go out into the market, Lashuk, when you're all wearing fragrances. Number two, Ayet Yochi Bilayl. Don't go out alone at night. Number three, Vayetze Biminolim Hamatuloim. Don't go out with patched shoes. Number four, Vayispar Imisha Bashuk. Don't talk to women in the marketplace. Number five, Vayese Bechabura Shalom Yoretz. Don't sit amongst the Amoratsim. Number six, Vayikonis Beachrona, the base of Medrash. Don't be the last one in to go into the base Medrash. Those are the six things that we mentioned. And then it says, Vayeshomim. There are other things as well, two other things. Aflo Yafsia Psiagasa. Don't take large steps. And the last thing is Vayahalik Bekomas Kufa. Don't walk around with your head raised up high in an arrogant posture. Now we'll discuss all eight of these things. So the first six that we said in the Braisa, number one, Ayetze Kishu Mavusim L'Shuk. Don't go out wearing perfume into the marketplace. Amar Rav Abba, Birei de Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Rav Abba, who was the son of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, he was named after his grandfather. Amar Rav Yochanan, the same name of Yochanan, B'mokum Shechashudim Amish L'Zochah. We're talking here about where if somebody went out with perfume, so that would be almost a giveaway that he was looking for Mishkav Zochah, for committing a Rachman al-San, an act of homosexuality. So therefore, don't do that. Don't have people suspect you. We always have the rule, V'yenikiyem Me'Hashem Mi'Yisrael, even though you know you're not doing that, but other people don't, so you have to try to be clean in the eyes, not only of Hashem, but in other people. Now, when was this said? Amar Sheish, as he qualifies, it's a little more than Elav Bigdo. That's when you're putting perfume on your clothing. Avo Begufo, if you're using it as a deodorant, Zeyam Avali, you're just getting rid of the sweat, that's allowed. Amar Papa, how do we view hair? So Rav Papa said, Visaro Kibigdo Domi, that if you put the perfume, fragrant oil in your hair, that's like putting on your clothing. That's not a good thing. Others say, no, no, that's like putting it on your body, just like you're using the deodorant for your body. Your hair also gets sweaty, and therefore you're allowed to do it on your hair. That's number one. Number two, you shouldn't go out alone at night. Mishum chashada. Again, the same thing, that people are suspecting you're doing a sexual immorality here with a woman. Now, the Mefarshim bring down, why don't we say that you don't go out at night because it's dangerous? Because that's normally the reason that we don't go out at all at night, because of the shadim. So it says it's talking about a situation where there's no shadim around, or that it's light outside, or it's in a public area, and therefore the shadim aren't a concern. But you shouldn't go out alone at night, because people are going to suspect you. And again, v'yunikim Hashem Yisrael. But we said this only the lo amar and the lo kviya le idna. That's when there's no shir that everybody knows you're going to. But avol kviya le idna, your rebbe is giving a shir. So every night you go out at 9 o'clock to the rebbe's daf yomi. So then may the idea of the lidne cause. Everybody knows he's going out to the shir, and therefore there is no concern. Number three, don't go out with patched shoes. So this is in accord with what Rechia Barabba said. What did he say? Rechia Barabba said, it's not nice for Talmud Chacham to go out with patched shoes. Mor says, is really that so? Talmud Chacham has to be so careful. We find that Rav Chiya Bar Abba himself went out. So how can you tell me not to go with patched shoes? He himself went out with patched shoes. They weren't rich. They were very poor, the Talmidei Chacham. So Amar Rezut, Rebbe Rav Nachman. No, we're talking over here, Bitloy. Al-Gabetloy, a patch on top of a patch. That's like really, really impoverished. And that's not proper for a Talmud Chacham to go out like that. And we even said that only v'lo amor v'lo panos. That's just on the top of the shoe where it's visible to everybody. Avol begildo on the akiv, on the sole, on the bottom, less lumba. That's not a problem. And even on the top of panos v'lo amor, and we only said ela b'urcha. That's only on the road. Avol beveis less lumba. You can go out in your house like that. Some aren't goers this over here. V'lo amor ela b'yamos hachama. This is only talking about in the summer, dry months when people can see the patch on your shoe. Avol b'yamos hachama when you have mud on your shoes and people won't see the patch, less lumba. Again, there's no concern over here. The next one is Vayisaper Imisha B'Shuk. Don't speak with a woman in the marketplace. Some of Chista Afilu Hiyishto. Even your own wife. Tani Namihochi. The Brisa says the same thing. Afilu Hiyishto. Even if it's your wife. Afilu Bito. If it's your daughter. Afilu Yachos. If it's your sister. Which there's no problem in you speaking to them. However, don't do it in a public place. Why? Because not everybody's going to know that that's your wife, your daughter, or your sister. Lefish Enakol Bekiyim Bikrovosav. And therefore, people are going to be suspecting that you're talking to a strange woman. And again, V'yu Nikiyim Hashem Yisrael. A person should always be clean, not only in the eyes of Hashem, but even the eyes of people. The next one, Vayesa Bechavbura Shalami Yoretz. Don't sit amongst Amaratsim. Why not? My timer. Gemara says, Dilma Osi Leam Shuche Besrai. Because if they're doing inappropriate things, you're going to be pulled in after them. Peer pressure. You're going to follow what they do. So don't put yourself in such a situation. And finally, the last one that we had of the first six, Vayekani Sachron Lebesa Medrash. Don't be the last one to go into Besa Medrash. Why? Bishim Dekorule Poshea. Because Agamar has the Girsa, you're going to be called a Poshea. You're a person who's not diligent. Why are you the last one in there? Others explain, they bring down from the Marsha, that it's poseya, because the last one is going to have to step on other people. And we learned previously, you shouldn't go and step on other people. That's not right. And you're going to get to your seat. You're going to push other people. You have to step on other people to get to your seat. Others have the gear so that you shouldn't be called lazy, otzel. The Eshomim, Aflo, then we said the seventh one, the extra two that we brought down, Aflo, Yavsiya Psiya Gasa, don't take large steps. Why not? Domamar, Psiya Gasa, don't tell us, Echem, Tovkov, Mim, or Enoshal Adam. Because taking large steps removes 1/500th of the vision that you have. How do you go correct that? Maitakante, if a person had to take large steps, Lahadre, Bikidusha, the Beshim Shay. So Rashi understands this over here, says, Shoshosa Koshal Kiddush, Bishabas Blaila. Drink the Friday night Kiddush, and that's, will negate the negative impact of taking large steps on your vision. Others explain that this is putting the wine in your eyes, and others say it's talking about Havdalah. This is where we have a common minhag that many people do this. They touch the wine to their fingers, and then they touch it to their eyes. And that's the source of this minhag. Then the last one is Val Yahalech Bekom Azukufa. Don't walk in an arrogant posture with your head up erect. Because we learn, Hamahalech Bekom Azukufa, if a person walks with an erect posture, Afilu Arba Amos, even if it's only for a short period of time, it's Ki'ilu Dochik Ragli Yashchina. It's a very arrogant posture. It's like you're pushing away the feet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kabiyocho. Tichsiv, Melo Kol Aretz Kvodo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, and you're walking up, you're sort of say knocking his feet aside. In other words, a person shouldn't walk in an arrogant fashion. This we conclude today's shir.